Please turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We are going to be taking a break from our study in the book of Acts. I feel like we're at a good stopping point there as we enter into the holiday season. We're going to shift a little bit. And as Christmas is coming up and Advent and those types of things, shifting our focus there as we celebrate the holiday season. And today is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. You have your Thanksgiving plans settled yet? Anybody? You guys, like, just, you know what's happening. Is it the same thing every year? Do you do something different every year? Are you looking forward to the feast? Are you a little bit stressed about the feast? Do you say, well, I'm just going to go somewhere and avoid my family altogether? I don't know where you are in life, what your particular situation is, but this is a week that we are reminded, in the midst of all the feasts and the fun and all of the get-togethers and everything, that we have a wonderful God. Amen. And we can be thankful for all that he has provided us. I appreciate Jim's message last week. Last week, Jim talked about gratitude and contentment. And I love it when Jim speaks, because he always speaks what I need to hear. It's always a blessing to me. And I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but I just want to praise the Lord for this. Just the multiple confirmations of Jim's message throughout Sunday morning last week. There were three different scriptures that Jim had included in his message. And I had read one of them at the start of the service. I had referenced two others in my prayers throughout the morning. And then Jim stood up and spoke and shared his word. And not only that, but he shared last week about the guy who was lame at the temple that got healed. He was 40 years old. And then the blind man that Jesus healed. And he was sharing about, you know, the patience that would take and whatnot. And it was just so awesome because Hannah and Margaret and I had gone to lunch on Friday. We had the exact same conversation about the exact same scriptures that Jim had shared. And I love it when God speaks and confirms his message. So it's been really neat. And I'm trying to pay attention, you know. Lord, what is it that you want me to get out of this, all right? We're going to continue that theme this morning, the theme of gratitude, the theme of giving thanks. And so we're going to read Psalm 107, a psalm that encourages us to thank God. It says this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned the rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Okay, so here we have a scripture of Thanksgiving. And there's lots of different things that are going on here. And the first thing that we see is just a call to give thanks, right? Just right at the beginning, verse 1, an encouragement, a call to thank God. He says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those who redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from land. All right, so an invitation then to consider God's goodness and to express our gratitude. We're reminded that God is a God of love and that his love is a long-lasting, faithful love. It is not a love that is like passionate and on fire 1 minute and then cold and distant and God turns away from us the next. But our God's love is faithful throughout all the seasons of our lives, and we're called to express our thankfulness for that. The psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord, the people that God has rescued, the people that God has restored, the people that God has brought back to him, let them tell their story. And it describes how he's redeemed them from their enemies, how he's brought them from distant lands and gathered them together as his people. And it's this picture of like God has been at work among his people, and we ought to praise him for it. We ought to tell what God has done. And I invite you to think this morning, like, how has God been working in your life? In the last week, in the last month, in the last year, over the course of your entire life, how has he been delivering you? How can you look back and see what God has done? We're called to proclaim that and praise his name. So he goes from there and gives a bunch of examples of God's deliverance, how God delivers from all kinds of circumstances that we face in life. The first one that he describes is providing for our needs. If you look here, it says in verse 4 that some people were wandering in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could live. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Now, I want you to put yourself in their place, right? Because, you know, for as long as I can think of, you know, as long as I can remember, I've always had a place to live, right? We were out traveling a little while back. We were driving around town, and we ended up in a neighborhood apartment complex, and it was like just like a block over from where, you know, like my earliest memories of having an apartment growing up. And I drove my kids over across the street, and I said, "See that little apartment right there? That's where I grew up for a number of years before my parents moved into the house where they're living now." Right? Like generally, like I've always had a place to live physically. But sometimes, even though we have places to live physically, we're wandering spiritually. There's no place that we're really settled. There's no place where we can find a rest or a peace, like a place to belong. And we go out in search of something that will satisfy. We go out in search of something that we think will meet our needs. And the reality is, God is the only one who can settle us. God is the only one who can truly meet our needs. That we don't have to be on the move continuously looking for something else to satisfy us, but God can give us a rest and settle us. And so he tells the story how these people, they were hungry and thirsty because they didn't have a place to be planted and a place to grow. They're constantly being pushed one way or another, constantly on the move. But watch, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And as we work our way through this, you're going to hear those words again and again and again. In each of these circumstances, we're told that when people cry out to God, God sees them in their trouble, and he rescues them from the distress that they're in. And so it says that he led these people by a straight way to a place where they could settle, that God made a way for them and God gave them a home, that they were no longer wandering here and there and everywhere, but God settled them and he provided them food. He provided them with what they needed. It says, then let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his steadfast love, and his wonderful deeds for mankind, because he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things, right? So we've got a people, they're in trouble, they cry out to God, God meets their need, and then the response is to be give thanks because God has provided what they need. In the next section, we see God freeing people from the bondage of sin. Read here with me in verse 10. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Right. So the picture here are people in darkness and their rejection of God, their rebellion leads to their bondage. They're in a place that they can't get out. They're prisoners and they're suffering. And the result of this is that their labor is bitter. Their work is hard. It is painful toil because of the situation that they find themselves in. They've walked away from God and God has taken away his protection and they've found themselves stuck in darkness. And the imagery here is someone who's falling and there's no one to help. Like there's no one that they can turn to. There's no one there to lift them up. They are completely alone. They're by themselves. They're just stuck. And in that darkness, what do? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. It says he brought them out of the darkness and he broke away their chains. So God gives them a freedom. He delivers them from the bondage that they're in, that this sin doesn't have to rule their lives. And as they're set free, we have this encouragement. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. It's repeated again. Why? Because he breaks down gates of bronze and he cuts through bars of iron. Like, there are things in life that we might feel trapped in. And it might look like, I can't get out. I can't cut through those iron bars. But it doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter what sin you find yourself stuck in, what dark place, what bondage. God has the power to set you free. So turn to him, cry out to him for help, and allow him to come in and do his work and deliver you. In the next section, we see that God heals from sickness. And in particular, it describes a sickness that comes on as the result of rebellion and sin. In verse 17, it says, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food, and they drew near the gates of death. So we're not specifically told what kind of sickness. We're not specifically told how their particular sin led to a sickness. But they're in the midst of a sickness, and they're suffering. And if they're so bad off that they don't want to eat, right? They loathed all food. You've ever been sick, and you're just, I don't want to touch anything. Elizabeth was sick this week. She got sick at school. I had to go pick her up. And of course, she comes home. She doesn't want to eat anything, right? We've all been in a place where, like, I don't even want to think about food. I feel terrible, right? That's where these people are. It says they're so bad off that they're about to die. They drew near the gates of death. They're, like, really, really in bad shape. They're about to die. And then what happens? We've heard this before. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. God heals by his word. And he rescued them from the grave. He rescued them from death. And this, again, an encouragement to thank God for his deliverance. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And in this time, instead of giving the reason for giving thanks, because we get the idea now, he intensifies this and tells us how we ought to give thanks. And he says, let them sacrifice thanks offerings and tell of his words with songs of joy. Let them sacrifice thank offerings, right? So go to the Lord and praise his name, sing songs, rejoice because how he has delivered you. And then finally, we have one more set of people that he describes. And this teaches us that God delivers us from danger. It says, some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. So it paints a picture here of sailors out on the sea. We can imagine being on a boat, if you've ever been on a boat before, either in the ocean or on a lake or something like that. Like, when the storm comes up, things get scary, right? There's this storm that happens, and if you look at it, it says they mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. This is a picture of the waves, right? You ever seen those videos of, like, a ship on the waves, and it's, like, way up here, and it's way down. Like, it's terrifying, right? And it's like, I never want to go on a boat ever after seeing some of those videos. And, like, that's the picture here is, like, they're in such danger that they're just, they're melting. They're being tossed here and there. They can't stand up straight. And they're at their wits' end. They've got nothing else to do, you know? Like, there's no answer. They can't throw anything else overboard. Whatever solutions that they tried, they don't work. There's no answer to this problem here. It's interesting, too, when you look at this, we see God at work and the power of God in creation. It says, God spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted up the high waves. Like, this even basically says that they're in a dangerous situation partly because God is doing something. And that's kind of hard for me to wrestle with at times. That's kind of hard for me to accept sometimes. It's like I go out to a place and God allows something to happen in my life that brings me some trouble, that brings me some distress. And it's like, well, how am I supposed to feel about that? But we see the answer here is that when we're in distress, what do we do? Well, this refrain again, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. And watch how he delivers. He stills the storm, right? This is a picture of, like, the disciples. I love the story of the disciples. They're on the sea, and there's this storm, and they're, you know, experienced sailors, you know. They're used to doing this kind of thing, but they are afraid, and they're, like, we're going to die. And Jesus is over there sleeping. And it's like, why are you sleeping? Get up, we're going to die. And Jesus is like, don't you know? And he just calms the storm. It's amazing that the things that we can be worried about because we're frail and weak and our understanding is limited, we can still trust God that he is powerful enough to hush the waves. So they rejoice. They're glad when it grows calm, and God guides them to their desired haven, their destination where they're safe. God takes them to safety. And again, this call to give thanks. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his wonderful deeds for mankind. And again, intensified again, let them exalt him in the assembly of the people. So praise his name when you're together with people and in the council of the elders. Tell of what God has done in your life. So we look at this and we remember that when we're in trouble, we cry out to God. And when he rescues us, we give thanks. And now the last section of the psalm changes. So we've got a general call to give thanks. We've got examples of various circumstances through which God delivers people. And then we have some statement about God's ability and an invitation for us to understand the way the world works, an invitation to wisdom and to trust in his name. If we look here, it says that he turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. So in other words, we have an act of judgment by God. Some people were living in a pretty great place, and it turned into an awful place because God withdrew his protection, his blessing, his provision for them because they were going against the goodness of God. But at the same time, we have a statement where God takes a bad place and turns it good. It says, he turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. Right? So God takes a desert place and he fills it with water so people can have abundance. And you look at that abundance in verse 37. It says, they sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. All right, so we see God's provision and protection. We see God's judgment. We see God with the ability to take any particular circumstance and turn it completely around. All right, so this invitation to wisdom then is an understanding that God has the power to transform any circumstance. And we all walk through life, and we go through many different circumstances. There are seasons of life that are just hard, and it feels like there's one problem after another, one sickness after another, one financial issue after another, whatever it might be. And then there's going to be seasons of life where things are going relatively smoothly. It's not so bad. Yeah, there's some problems, but hey, you know, I'm not stressed out all the time. I'm not worried all the time. Things seem to be going well. But the reality is we need to understand that God is in the midst of all of it. And as we look at this, in verse 39, it says this, then their numbers decreased and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. That he who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted up the needy out of their affliction and increased their families and flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. All right? So again, just this repetition of like, you know, God took the needy people up and he blessed them. Their numbers increased. But then there was oppression and then there was calamity and sorrow. There were hard times. But God then still lifted the needy up out of their affliction and increased their families and flocks. Like, there's this kind of this ebb and flow of life. And it kind of goes back and forth at times. And we, as God's people, need to understand that God is at work in the midst of human history. That God is at work in our nation. God is at work in our world. God is at work in our workplace, wherever there might be troubled times and good times. And we as God's people know that ultimately he will take care of us and he will lift us up out of our affliction and we can rejoice in him. that we rejoice over God's righteousness, even sometimes when we may not see like what the end result is going to be. That we are called to consider the ways of the Lord and to trust in his love. Verse 43 says, "Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord." We're supposed to pay attention to everything that's gone before. All the highs and all the lows, all the distress and all the rescues, all of those things, and think back, how is it that God has shown his love to me? And then I rejoice with thanksgiving. We consider the ways of the Lord, and we trust in his love. So, this week is a week of thanksgiving. We're going to be getting together and eating food and having fun and doing all those things. And I want to encourage you, as you gather, to tell your story of God's redemption. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And that when you find yourself in times of trouble, remember that our God is a God who delivers. So cry out to the Lord in your trouble and let him save you from your distress. That you can trust in his ability to rescue you and turn things around. If it looks like a desert place, if it looks like iron bars, he can break them down. He can fill that desert place with water. And ultimately, when he comes through for you, don't forget, but give thanks for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. So, before we close this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do just this. And I want you to find one or two people around you. I want you to take a moment to give thanks and tell your story of how God is working in your life or how he's worked in the past. And then in a moment, we're going to take some time to pray together. And I want you to take that opportunity to cry out to the Lord in your distress and seek his help for your troubles. Find someone, share what God's been doing in your life, praise his name together.